fun stuff on this week's podcast, like the all-boys string quartet. They play the craggy music of Bartok with total conviction and then humorously attempt to sing it. I also like the way the young cellist on the show pays homage to martial arts legend Bruce Lee. And the whole thing ends with some phenomenal Celtic fiddling. Christopher O'Reilly here. Hope you like it.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, one of America's finest concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you and welcome. From the Top was created because we thought Americans should celebrate great young musicians with the same gusto as we celebrate great young athletes. Well, we've got our work cut out for us today if we're going to keep up with the way people in this town celebrate their young basketball players. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at Jorgensen Center for the Performing Arts at the University of Connecticut, home of the Unstoppable Huskies, winners of the 2014 NCAA basketball championship titles for both men and women. A big thank you to the University of Connecticut for bringing us here to the town of Storrs. And responding to the Huskies' national fame, we've pulled out all the stops to feature kids from practically all of the conferences. In addition to kids from Connecticut and the Northeast, we've got performers from the Southeast, the Pacific Northwest, the Midwest, and even Southern California, like the young string quartet on stage right now who have traveled from the Los Angeles area to be with us. They are K.J. McDonald, 17, and Jason Corbin, 16, are violinists. Patrick Marsh, 17-year-old violist, and Alex Mansour, 17-year-old cellist. They call themselves the Clemens String Quartet, and they're opening our program with the first movement of Béla Bartók's Fourth String Quartet.
Thank you.
The Clemens String Quartet from Junior Chamber Music of Southern California performed the first movement of Béla Bartók's fourth string quartet. We heard K.J. McDonald and Jason Corbin, violins, Patrick Marsh, viola, and Alex Mansour, cello. These guys are coached by Lorenz Gama. That's a bracing way to open a show. My gosh. Do you guys ever start a concert with that movement?
Not usually.
No. This concert.
I know. Actually, you know, first of all, tell everybody, Patrick, about the namesake of your group. He lived only about a half an hour from here in Connecticut.
Yeah, we actually didn't know that when we came here. We're going to visit his house tomorrow. We just got so excited. We just have to. It came from KJ is a big fan of Mark Twain, and we didn't really know that much about his books, but he enlightened us a little bit more about them. So, I mean, since we talk about him so much, we just thought, why not name our quartet the Clemens Quartet?
Exactly. But you guys started out as what, the Hangout Quartet?
Yeah, actually, none of us came out with that idea. My mom would see us eat pizza at the beginning of every rehearsal for like 30, 40 minutes. And rehearsal starts at 5:30, but it would approach 6:10 before we even start getting our instruments out. So she said, you guys just hang out. Just call yourselves the Hangout Quartet.
That's right. But when you go to the fish off competition,
we had to look like we practiced.
So Clemens sounds great. Okay, so you came up with an unusual name to go to the Fish Off National Chamber Music Competition, but the way you prepared for that competition was also unusual. Jason, you played Bartók in some unusual places.
Some very unusual places. We've played in the bar at a bowling alley.
There's a lot of bar talk there.
It was interesting, though. They might have been slightly drunk because they liked the bar talk a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
We've also played at a coffee shop, and we've played at an elementary school.
Nice.
And the idea behind it was we wanted to make sure we can play in the face of any distractions we came into. So,
and also it's handy for rehearsal. You've got the score sheets at the bowling alley, so you can, you know, score 10 frames, 10 phrases, yeah. Strike or spare, and, you know.
It sounded like the wrong kind of score.
I know, exactly. It's true. But, Alex, the kids at the elementary school had a wonderful reaction to the Bartók and classical music in general.
It was a very cool experience because we played Beethoven and Dvorak for them initially because these were pieces we were also taking to the Fischhoff competition. We played some movie scores. We played some John Williams, you know, Harry Potter, Michael Giacchino, Up, stuff like that. So they were kind of already accustomed to very friendly sounding harmonies, music they're familiar with. So when we whipped out this Bartók, a lot of them were very shocked. They kind of sat up straight, kind of confused, looking around like, is this okay? What's happening? And I think it's because it's so abstract, it's so out there. It's nothing that they're really familiar with, and I think it was important for them to realize that classical music really does extend far beyond, you know, Mozart, Haydn, what we're used to. It really has a very broad scope that includes a lot of different things.
Probably wasn't too unfamiliar, Alex. I know you're a film composer, and so a lot of that sounds like, you know, Bernard Herrmann stole some of that from Psycho.
Jerry Goldsmith, all the Hitchcock classics.
Fantastic. Yeah. And KJ, you suggested a playful but I think revelatory technique to prepare this particular piece. What was that?
Oh, we'd all sing it together before we actually went on stage to play it. Sounds weird, Bartók singing, but I found that you can hear things you've never heard before, and also when you sing, you know exactly what they're hearing in their brain.
That's right, internalizing. I just think we have to hear it. Sorry. Can you do a little bit singing Bartók for us?
We didn't warm up.
Go for it. Okay. Oh my God, One Direction, Move Over. Bravo, guys. Beautiful job on the Bartók. Thanks for being with us. The Clemens String Quartet, ages 16, 17 years old, from the Los Angeles area.
Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer drove up from his home in New York City to join us in Connecticut today. He's a 16-year-old cellist and his name is Derek Louis. Derek, while I head back to the piano, why don't you tell everyone what we're going to play together?
Mr. Raleigh and I will be playing Dvorak's Silent Woods.
Thank you.
Derek Louis, 16-year-old cellist from New York City, playing Silent Woods by Antonin Dvorak. Guess he had some good tunes left in him after the cello concerto. Wow. Just a gorgeous piece there, Derek. We've never had it on the show before. Thank you for bringing that.
Thank you.
And playing it so beautifully. Derek, I know you're a very thoughtful, philosophical guy, I might even say. So we asked you to wax philosophical about music.
God, I love that low C. It's the richest note in the cello. It's the bottommost string on the cello. Everything seems to, like, sprout from it. It's the most incredible sound I've ever heard in my life, to be honest. I find that focusing on the little details of the piece, even like the low C, helps me in a much greater way than focusing on the big outline of the entire piece. Focusing on the little details can help you strive for the bigger details of the piece, like the phrases and the harmonies. I'm a huge fan of martial arts. One of my most favorite movies in martial arts of all time is Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon, and especially the last scene, which is the mirror scene. So Bruce Lee gets in a huge fight with the leader of this island that he's in a competition with, and he eventually finds himself in a room full of mirrors, and he is able to figure out how to destroy his opponent by looking in the mirrors and seeing where his reflection is related to his opponent's. And I actually do find this parallel to the music world, I feel, because when you're performing for others, you're not the only one who's listening to you play. You have to imagine it as you're listening to your own sound as well as the audience is listening to you. It's almost like looking at yourself in a mirror. One of the cool things I find about cello nowadays is how at Juilliard, my friends and I, we're not just stuck on the classical aspect of music. We also play rock and pop songs, and we do this during breaks often, where we find a piece that was once pop and we transform it into a cello piece. And one of the groups that I love in the music world that does this is Two Cellos. And my favorite piece is Viva La Vida. As much as I love Two Cellos and how they transform rock songs into classical, I have to admit that Bach, for me, is the number one choice on my list. One of the reasons why I love Bach is because we can never stop learning from it, and we're always growing our knowledge of music when we play it. My mom just told me how in 1970 NASA launched two probes into space, and they were called the Voyagers. And on the Voyagers were gold discs, round discs, and on those discs were recordings of Bach and different pieces that Bach wrote. And I feel that Bach not only is a link between centuries from when he wrote it to now, but it's also a link between civilizations. So we've chosen this music as the greatest representation of humanity, and one from which we can never stop learning. But at the same time, we choose not to expose this music to our children. And I find that ironic.
Good enough for aliens, but not good enough for our kids. Derek, wow, what a thoughtful young man. And I also like that martial arts sort of reference, because it's not about gaining a certain level or a certain belt, you're always, you know, as you say, looking in the mirror, studying, making yourself better, reaching for a higher goal. Very, very thoughtful and wonderful, wonderful philosophy there. One more thing for you to be philosophical about, the connection between music and baseball, you were saying.
I feel that, without a doubt, being a team and collaborating with one another, either on the baseball field, like for me, it would be a pitcher, or collaborating with your pianist on the stage, I think that's incredibly important. I mean, it's not just you who's making the commitment, it's everyone else. And in order to get the best outcome of what you're trying to strive for, you have to work with your teammates.
Yeah.
Whether you caught a fly ball and you're trying to toss it home, or you're indicating a new phrase with the pianist, I just think that's the best way to communicate with your team.
Agreed, and I felt your communication. I love performing with you. Thanks for being with us. Derek Louis, 16-year-old cellist from New York City. Joining us now is a terrific 17-year-old oboist from Georgia. Her name is Cassie Pilgrim. I'll have the pleasure of collaborating with her on Morceau de Solon by Jan Kalivoda.
Thank you.
Cassie Pilgrim, 17 years old, our oboist from Chamblee, Georgia, played Marceau de Salon by Jan Kalivoda. You know, coming out of the Dvorak that we just heard, Jan Kalivoda was a Czech composer, another bohemian composer. Life covered basically the first half of the 19th century. And a great admirer of his was Robert Schumann. And it occurred to me that there's such a wonderful sort of tail-spinning storytelling aspect to his music that you brought out so nicely. Now, what got you started on the oboe? It's such a difficult instrument. You weren't initially advised to take up the oboe.
Right. When I was about 10 years old in band, our director was helping us pick instruments, and he warned me against the oboe, saying that it was the hardest instrument to learn, but that only made me want to learn more. He told me to start with clarinet first, but my brother plays the clarinet, and the last thing I wanted to do was be like him. No offense. So I started with the oboe, and it was just an uphill journey from there. But still,
you made your brother look like a slacker, so that's good. That's good. You may have come to the oboe out of a competitive streak with your brother, but you've stuck with it because the music is incredibly important to you. What in particular about classical music moves you so much?
Well, if there's one thing that classical music isn't, it's just background noise. Because if you listen, there's just universes that you can discover, and you can learn all sorts of things, especially about yourself. And there's so much to learn from classical music, and it can express any emotion. Like the piece I just played, it translates to peace of living. So it really demonstrates a lot of different aspects of the human emotion and life, which is all, you know, life and music are interconnected with each other.
Got a philosophical show going here, ladies and gentlemen. You have a wonderful story about your most memorable time in classical music. Share that with our audience.
Last year, I got the opportunity to play a solo piece with my youth orchestra in Atlanta, and it was a great opportunity to be able to share my music with a large group of people, especially since my mother was there, and she was very ill at the time. And it was great for me to be able to play and, you know, give her music, especially since she was able to focus on the music and not on her illness. So that was something that made me really grateful to be able to provide.
And that's what we're all striving for. I mean, your mother forgot she was ill. You know, our audience, time is suspended, disbelief is suspended. It's the tale of the Ancient Mariner, you know, that kind of thing. We're just all in your corner. Just loved listening to you and playing with you. Thank you, Cassie.
Thank you.
Cassie Pilgrim, 17 years old, our oboist from Chamblee, Georgia, outside of Atlanta.
If you're wondering what it would be like to see these amazing performers in action, hop over to our YouTube channel. There you'll find video clips from each and every show, behind-the-scenes features, even content created by the young musicians themselves. Go to youtube.com/fromthetop.
Support for From the Top comes from this and other radio stations, and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From New England Conservatory of Music, where young artists and teachers are committed to transforming classical music, online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, whose mission is to advance the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need, on the web at jkcf.org. This is NPR.
Thank you.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Jorgensen Center for the Performing Arts at the University of Connecticut in Storrs. Jorgensen Center is home to one of the largest college-based presenting programs in the country. Coming up, a 12-year-old violinist plays Prokofiev. Our UConn performance is made possible with support from Patricia Hempel and New England Public Radio. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Our next performer comes from right here in Connecticut. Please welcome from the town of Darien, 13-year-old pianist Chelsea Guo. Great to have you here with us, Chelsea. What have you brought to play?
I have brought the Rachmaninoff's Elegy in E-flat minor.
Thank you.
Chelsea Guo, 13-year-old pianist from Darien, Connecticut, performing Sergei Rachmaninoff's Elegy in E-flat minor from Opus 3. Some early Rachmaninoff, a young man. And Chelsea, you're young for this, but this is no surprise to me from listening to you play. You were taking voice lessons as well as studying the piano at Juilliard Pre-College. So how does it stack up? Serious about singing as well as the piano or different? How do you feel?
Well, I would say I'm more serious about piano since it is my major instrument. But on the side, I really do enjoy singing as well. Yeah.
Well, you have such a wonderful singing tone at the piano. I mean, it's no wonder. It really comes from within. You're very particular about what you will sing, though.
I like to have meaning in what I sing. We all know that there are some, not all, of course, there are very meaningful pop songs out there, but there are some which the artists, themselves can't even connect to. So I think that if you write a song, you should be able to connect to it and have an audience be able to connect to it.
And so everything you do has to have meaning, really integrity there. But beyond that, you also want to be very good at everything you do. That seems like a lot of pressure to put on yourself, wouldn't you say?
I think I put most of the pressure on myself. And it's not that I want to be, whatever I do, it's not that I want to be better than anyone else at it. It's I want to do the best I can do myself from it. So it's a lot of work because everything that I pick up, everything that I start, I want to be able to finish it and finish it well.
Yeah. And I know, keeping things in perspective, your mom tries to help you with your perfectionism. What does she say?
She says, of course, try your best. Do your best with what you think you can do, but don't push yourself. Don't make yourself do something that's beyond your limit, because she says a lot of the things that I, a lot of the expectations I have of myself are not realistic.
But I think a lot of it also has to do with just kind of preparing and then letting it go.
Yeah.
And I really feel that. You know, the preparation is one thing, but the performance, there you are in the moment. And we really feel that, Chelsea. Really appreciate it. Beautiful performance of the Rachmaninoff. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Chelsea Guo, 13-year-old pianist from Darien, Connecticut.
Podcasts are From the Top. Featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast are available every week at fromthetop.org. And check out our YouTube channel for some great music videos, as well as footage of our kids' backstage antics. Chris.
Next up is a very young and extremely talented violinist from Bellevue, Washington. Please welcome 12-year-old Charlotte Marks. Welcome, Charlotte. Would you please introduce the piece we're playing together?
We're going to be playing the first movement of the Prokofiev Violin Sonata.
So, Charlotte, are you going to put extra Charlotte sauce on this?
Yes, sir.
What am I talking about?
So, my teacher, Simon James, I have two teachers, but he's one of my teachers. He's really funny. He has these catchphrases that he says, and one of them is he tells me to, when he wants me to be more musical, he tells me to put Charlotte sauce on something, which...
Works for me. Extra Charlotte sauce on this one. Let's do it.
Thank you.
Charlotte Marx, 12 years old, from Bellevue, Washington, performing the opening movement of the Sonata for Violin Piano by Sergei Prokofiev. Charlotte, that was really extraordinary. I've played that piece with flute a lot, but my gosh, all the wonderful tricks that David Oistrakh helped Prokofiev with. In this version of the piece, just makes it come alive in a whole different way, especially in your hands, wise beyond your years. Really a pleasure. Charlotte, you kind of ended up playing the violin instead of the cello by default. You had some other cellists in the family?
Yeah, my mom and my sister, they both play the cello. So when we sort of assumed that I would end up playing the cello at some point. So But when I started on the cello, I was really, really horrible at it. My mom, she admits that I was the world's worst cello player.
So. Nice to have your mom's support. I understand everybody pitched in. I guess what did your grandfather do when you played the cello?
I sort of went along with it for a while, after a while I sort of began to sense that my grandparents, they're really, really supportive of our playing. But when my grandfather, I was playing a piece that my sister had already played, mm-hmm. and my grandfather picked up his newspaper and started reading it while I was playing.
Wow. Now, I know your dad is a musician too. Do your parents help you practice? I mean, they seem very encouraging. Your mom does anyway.
Definitely. They help me practice. They're constantly practicing with me, but they have different styles of practicing. My mom, she's really picky. She hones in on the details, my dad, he's really different because he has one thing that he really cares about, and that's pitch. And he goes around the house, sort of wandering around, and goes pitch, pitch, pitch. No, Charlotte, that's out of tune. Olivia, that's out of tune. No, pitch, pitch, pitch. Which. It's sort of ironic because he plays the bass, and the bass is exactly all that too.
Sounds like quite a household.
It is, yeah.
I think it's a sitcom in the making, or a reality TV show. Now, you and your sister Olivia, the cellist, also fiddle, as everyone is about to hear. Like, you're really good. Like, you busk at Pike Place Market in Seattle. Is that crowd tough to please?
Yeah. They're definitely. Because most of the people, they have something that they want to do. Either they want to go to the place where the people throw fish, or they want to take photos in front of Rachel or the pig, or they want to there's tons of things that they want to do, so you can never really. Sometimes they stop, and sometimes they don't, and it usually depends on how you're playing. And if you aren't playing very well, then they won't do it.
Yeah. I know you and your sister actually write also sometimes your own music. And I guess they're sort of a tough crowd there, too. I mean,
yes,
you can
definitely
tell if it's a good piece, how.
Yeah, well, when we play a new tune and the crowd really loves it, or we gather a big crowd, then we can tell that it's a good tune. We don't need to do anything to it. But if the crowd doesn't like it, or they walk away, then you can...
Or pick up a newspaper like your grandfather.
Yeah. Then we know that we have to go home and fix it.
Yeah.
And then we try it again, and if they like it that time, then it's good.
Excellent. Gosh, you are a hard worker and interactive and reactive with your audience. I like that. Well, let's bring out Olivia so we can hear you two play. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome 15-year-old cellist Olivia Marks. Olivia, you were telling me that fiddling has a lot of classical roots. How does it help you play classical music?
Fiddle music actually, like, really helps with, like, your ear training, your music theory. It gives you a good sense of rhythm. Like, you can bring out, like, cool rhythms, like, in your melodies.
You were telling me it helps you with your harmony, you know, especially
yes.
when you're working on your own tune or learning a new traditional
when
tune.
When we're learning tunes, I mean, they basically, like, throw the chords at you, like, rapid fire. Okay, it's B, A, C, D. Mm-hmm. And then you go, okay, B, A, C, D. Write it on your little notebook, and then that's what you play.
Yeah. There's such pliancy
in
the plasticity and the elasticity in the sound of fiddling. Well, listen, I want to get to it. Before you play, though, tell everyone your performing name.
Well, Charlotte and I, we go under the name Sempre Sisters. Sempre means always, so it's very cute. We're always sisters.
That's right. Sempre Sai, I like. So you two are so fun together. We decided we had to do a special video portrait of you. So everybody, that's up at fromthetop.org. You got to see that. Olivia, what are you
going to
play?
We're going to play the High Reel set, which is arranged by Alistair Fraser. And in one of his musical duet partners, Natalie Hossie plays the cello.
Brilliant. Before you bring the house down with this, I want to thank all of our wonderful young performers. And thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Sempre Sisters, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrard Ouellette, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. From the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries. On the web at lemelson.org. From the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And from Joyce V. Hale, in the interest of engaging an informed and civil electorate. This is NPR.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.